Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I am one half of your host, Quizmaster Lee. And of course, I'm joined here by Mr. Quizmaster Mark Davis.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm great.
It's a rainy day.
A little bit of a dreary day outside.
It's a little bit dreary.
Yep. For all our English listeners out there, that's English Mark.
Hello. Yeah.
Here he is. He's our guest today. We have Mark and English Mark.
my English name is Declan. My roommate, Keegan, his British name is Nigel, and my British name is Declan, and sometimes we talk to each other in piss-poor British accents. It's
Mark,
fun.
Mark, how are you doing this morning?
You know what? I'm doing okay. We went out and had some breakfast. I got a pocket. Listen to this.
Did a candy grab on the way out.
It's a pocket full of mints. The guy at First Watch told me I could take as many as I wanted, and I took a whole handful.
Oh, boy, did you.
Whoo, boy.
Yep. What did you have for breakfast? I mean, I know, but what, tell our listeners.
I had a skillet. They call it a hash, I believe.
Yeah.
A parma hash. No cheese.
Yep.
Add red bell peppers. I don't know if people really want to know this. And over easy egg with some multigrain toast and some $1 million bacon.
I had exactly the same thing, except no $1 million bacon, and I took that cheese.
You did take that cheese. Yep. You took my cheese and then some.
It was delicious.
It looked delicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I know. Mine tastes a lot like yours, except it had cheese on it.
Indeed.
And yours tasted like mine, except no cheese.
Exactly. How wonderful. And no red peppers. You didn't get red peppers, did you?
I did. I think it comes with... I don't think you need to specify.
Oh, no. It doesn't come with... Well, mine... I don't know if you got the same one as me, but mine definitely did not come with red peppers.
Mine did. I actually left a couple on the plate. I said a little too much red pepper.
Should have thrown those my way.
Should have.
Should have traded that cheese for the peppers.
Anyway, more importantly than our breakfast, how was your trivia this week?
My trivia was good, but before we get to my trivia...
Yeah.
I want to talk about your trivia, because an interesting thing happened to you.
A very interesting thing happened to me.
your hand is at the ready. Your PA went out.
Yep, my PA totally shit the bed right at the beginning. So I'm setting up. I'm over at Bury Me Brewing. It's the only trivia I do where I don't like hook into the house system, basically.
Right.
So I bring my own system out. And getting all set up, I got my tablecloth on my table, I've got all the answer sheets handed out, I've primed everybody, all the players, I said, hey, we're doing trivia here in a little bit, I'm getting ready to make my announcement on the mic, and I tap on my mic,
no
and
juice.
I'm like, start checking all the volume knobs, maybe for some reason, maybe it's the input 2 volume is affecting it for some reason, let me try every combination of chords coming in and out, oh shit, none of this is working.
Ugh.
My sound system is not working. In fact, even my computer, I can't even pump my music through the sound system because my second input isn't working either. However,
jeez.
The auxiliary input came through. So I was able to run a line from my laptop into my auxiliary input and at least get some music going.
Get those tunes.
Yep. And then all I did was, about 5 minutes before trivia started, I turned it down and I just yelled really loud. I said, hey, we're doing trivia here. Just about 5 minutes. Stick around. I'm going to explain all the rules shortly. Put on some good music. 5 minutes go by. My normal intro music played. And then I felt like I was like doing like theater in the round.
There you go.
You know, like I was just, it's a very, the venue is very long shotgun style.
Uh-huh.
So I basically, as I was asking questions, reading the leaderboard, I had everything on my phone and I was just kind of pacing up and down the room. Almost like a town crier. Question one. In the series HBO Entourage series, actor Vinny Chase starred in what fictional film? I didn't use the accent. I did
right.
not.
You should have.
Yeah, that's English Lee, by the way.
There you go.
But yeah, so, I got some lemons last night. I don't know what I'm going to do about the sound system. I'll have to figure something out. But there was no heckling, which I was very pleased with. Everybody was paying attention. In fact, there was one team that started to talk a little bit while I was reading like question 13. It was like late in the night and the bartender shushed them for me. Just like,
wow. It's all, you know, it's kind of like whenever there's like
shout
a national,
Giovanna,
yeah,
the way.
Whenever
you.
There's a national travesty, it like brings the nation together.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's kind of like what you had happen. It's like
on a very
when
small
it happened,
scale, yeah.
Yes, on a very small.
A tragedy occurred.
Tragedy happened here today. but yeah, everybody kind of came together. But, you know, I also wanted to talk about something we haven't talked much about, which is the stress.
Yeah.
The stress involved.
Yeah.
In trivia as a whole, not just you know, not just with you and I and the job we're doing as far as like asking questions, people coming up asking you to repeat questions, people asking, you know, well, what did you mean by that? And did you say that? And I know we had a question that we were doing that with. You had a question about the fruit eaten by
the Greek gods.
The Greek gods.
Yeah. Controversial and, question.
Which, because we were trying to figure out if you meant an actual fruit.
Right.
But we knew that the correct answer was ambrosia.
Right.
And we knew that. But
and there was, I should just add, there's a secondary hint to that question that I gave, which was also consumed by characters on the television series Battlestar Galactica. So if right. you knew one or the other or both, it was very obvious what the answer is.
And well, see, in the as someone who has not seen Battlestar Galactica, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, well, I don't even know how you would like fictionally make up what ambrosia looks like. So I was like, I wonder if he means a real fruit. Fletcher wrote it down having known it. Mm-hmm. And Jamie and I both knew that ambrosia was the fruit of the gods.
Yeah.
But the way the question was written kind of made us wonder if like maybe ambrosia like took the form of a strawberry in Battlestar Galactica or something. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're dealing with all that. People come, you know, asking for clarification, people asking mm-hmm. to repeat questions, people talking to you about like random shit that they just want to talk to you about. But also on the team level,
mm-hmm.
The amount of stress that goes into someone thinking that they're right about something. You know, I had a team, I had mentioned a couple episodes back where they had written down Prussia.
Yeah.
When the answer that I had down was Germany, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, probably a faux pas on my part. But then I never saw the team again, actually, until last night. And up until then, I had thought that they wrote me off. I thought that they were so upset at me not giving them those points, which, for what it's worth, I don't know if it's worth much, but for what it's worth, would not have given them the game. It wasn't like a, you know, a deciding factor, yeah. but...
They could have been salty about the experience.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah.
And play, I mean, the play experience.
Exactly. And yeah. that's, you know,
bad vibes.
And when you know that, you know, people are coming out to your trivia and are spending money at a place, you want them to come back because it makes you look bad. You know, it's a bad look if people are not coming out anymore because you didn't, you know.
I have players that have said they, you know, this is our first time back since the last host and we didn't come because the last host did something that we didn't like.
And I've had people come and say, we're here for trivia. We know about trivia. We know how you run it. So it's, you know,
you get a reputation.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But also on that, you know, I've had many times and you've played trivia a bit, but you're more of a host than you are a player. I think that's fair
yeah,
to say.
Yeah. I mean, I play sparsely compared to how often I host.
Yeah. And see, I probably play, you know, one to one and it was more.
I like playing You Don't Know Jack at home. That's a fun trivia game. I like watching Jeopardy and playing along with that.
But those are very different experiences from being in a democratic, you know,
team-based
mm-hmm. thing where you're playing with people that you know and people that you care about.
Or work with, maybe.
Or work with, where, you know, you just have that intensity, you know, and just the tensions that can run high and the, you know, where you're just so sure of something and next thing you know, things can just escalate. And, you know, I mean, I think at the end of the day, as it's awesome that people care so much. You know, we've talked a bit about, you know, you say an answer and everybody goes, oh, I told you that was the answer, you know, mm-hmm. and everybody just kind of like throws their hands up. Yeah, exactly.
And as far as wrong answers go, that's the best experience is when one person at least knew it.
Right. Yeah. You know? But also, it's
from
very
a quizmaster's perspective.
Yeah, yeah. But on a team level, that can be infuriating. You know, we had Sherry talk last week about mm-hmm. how she still remembers that she said community. You know, instead of, you know, whatever it was, community, instead of, chance. And Jinx. she still remembers it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff that just eats at you.
I think it's beautiful in a way though, because it's kind of like, you earn respect from your teammates. If you're petitioning for an answer that's right and everybody is like, no, it's this other wrong answer. And then it's revealed that your answer was right. It's kind of like you get a little respect, like, oh, shit, we need to listen to this person maybe a little bit more on the subject in the future. They know what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's the bright side of it. Mm-hmm. But nothing gets those points back.
Right. That's
and so
true.
When you find out that you lose, you know, by a couple points or whatever, It's just, you know, sitting there like, it's easy to take it personally. Mm-hmm. It's easy to take a lot of stuff personally, like, why don't you think that I'm right? And, you know, it's just so many different life experiences that lead up to thinking that you know an answer is right and why.
Yeah.
And that Ambrosia thing is a pretty good example, mm-hmm. you know.
I know I can be talked out of, I mean, anybody who's listened to this podcast know that I am totally capable of being like, I'm 100% certain this right answer or this answer is right. And then it's wrong. Like the William Henry Harrison, William McKinley flub that I had, you know, or countless others. So if I'm playing and somebody's like, no, I don't think that's right, I usually will cede to them, you know, because I know that, you know, everybody makes mistakes. It's fine.
I try to be.
Take it personally.
This is my life motto, kind of, but I try to only be vocal about things that I know I know.
Mm-hmm.
If I think I know something or I know that I don't have much to offer, I'll usually just try and shut my mouth.
Yeah.
If someone asks for whatever little bit of knowledge I may have, I may go, this is as much as I know. I know like this little bit of something, but take that with a big grain of salt because I am not fucking sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think you make an important point there that if you don't know, don't fight for something if you don't know it.
Yeah.
Some players will do that.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
They just want to die on that cross for some reason. Yeah. And I've never understood it. It's the same people that wager 20 at the end of the night when they know damn well that they don't know the answer.
Blowjobs is not the answer.
Yeah. So it's like, just go -1. And I mean, actually last night I had a team that killed the round, got everything right except for the last question,
mm-hmm.
went -1 on it because they knew they weren't sure and they won. And had they just been like, fuck it, we're just going to go all in, they would have lost.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there's you know.
Besides point wagers, there's a good way to be conservative in your own team. You know,
yeah.
Don't put it all out there and say like, I don't know, I feel like this is right. If you have no
humility, there's a big place for humility in anything that's like a democratic decision like that, you know,
and respect your teammates. Maybe they know.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I think you'll end up getting more respect for showing that respect sometimes, you know, that you may not win. It's not about winning the battle, it's about winning the war. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And in the end, when you give a little bit, you know, you find when you know something else, people are willing to listen to you because you're not just kind of trying to be a blowhard. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
And to bring it back to the Quizmaster side of things, if you have, you know, if you make an error as a Quizmaster, have a little humility and own up to it. Like a couple weeks ago, I had a tiebreaker and I asked what was the color of Marianne's hair.
Yeah, we talked about this.
And the answer that I had was black, but it's clearly brown, you know, in the color episodes. And she answered brown and I said nope, because it wasn't the answer that I was looking for, that I was misinformed about. And then afterwards, it didn't sit right with me. So, you know, I reversed the decision. Went over to the team I gave the gift cards to and I said, I need those back. I hope you understand, you know. And but
how did they take it?
They were fine with it, you know. I mean, they were as, you know, disappointed as anybody would be in that situation. But the important thing to remember, as you pointed out earlier, is that the players are there to have fun. And that's what you need to focus on, not whether or not, you know, who's winning, you know, or like how many points, you know, are being given out. And, you know, it's basically comes down to, as long as the players are having fun, you're doing your job properly.
Yeah. And part of having fun is doing things right. You know what I mean? Is making sure that things are being done well, you know. And that's one of the things, like being in a band, I always say, for me to have fun being in a band, it has to not suck. You know what I mean? Like, and I mean, it's different for everyone, of course, but
players aren't going to come back if they're not having fun.
Right. And part and like I said, like part of having fun is knowing that you're going to have fair game, you know, fair play or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And speaking of humility, we got a miscorrection later on today.
Okay.
That was me.
Oh, all right.
Where I fucked up.
We'll see some humility from Quizmaster Mark later.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In well, spades.
Let's get into our weekly wrap up.
Please.
Right now. I guess I'll go first. Last week at number 3, the 2-man team Stiff, they won with 59 points. Then this past Monday at 3 Pepper, it was your team, Mark, the Wet Boys, who won.
It us.
With 108 points. Very triple digit score.
Yeah, we had a pretty good. Do you know where that lands in your top 10?
Yeah, we'll look that up in a second. On Thursday at Bury Me Brewing, the team known as Not Confident won.
Wow.
Ironically, with 92 points.
How perfect.
Shout out to the new team that came out to Bury Me Brewing last week, Quiz in My Face. They took it very seriously. They did not know that trivia was happening. I think they were just there to have some beers and dinner after work. And they ordered some pizza. And when I looked over at them in the first round, and they looked like they were in the fucking presidential executive war room. Like, they looked like they were about to take down Osama bin Laden. The sleeves were rolled up. Jeez. One of them was standing. Another one was, like, perched up like a gargoyle. You know?
Man.
Yeah. They shut the quiz in my face. Maybe
isn't
we'll see
it great when you see a team and you just know?
Mm-hmm. And they
I had that last night.
They only wagered one on the last question, and they got it right. If they would have wagered a full 21 points, they would have come in second place, but only by 4 points.
Wow.
Very close margin there.
Wow.
Yeah. So shout out to them. Mark, how did your teams do at Nice Guys on Wednesday?
So I totally had one of those teams where I saw them and I knew. I went over. He was handing out trivia sheets. The last table I get to is this table of like six people. And there is, I said last night, if there's one person on the team wearing a hoodie and that has a receding hairline, you know that they're in the running for winning. They were just like, they all look like just, they had like various different kinds of nerds.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
each
just
archetype.
Oh yeah, dude.
They have the science nerd. The I go, book
you guys,
nerd.
You guys here to do trivia? And
the
they're
pop
like,
culture nerd.
They just nodded, and I go, you guys are gonna be nasty.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, no. I was like, I know it when I see it. And sure enough, they won the first two rounds. They won the first round outright. They won the second round by a tiebreaker. And then the third round came, and they only got two questions right in the round. That team was called the Krusty Krew, which hey. I hope they come back out because like I said, they did really well and they were a lot of fun. But at the end, taking away the third round, which I think this is the second week they've done this, the Cherry Poppins returns, Jamie Carmichael's team, 53 points. They got all the questions right in the last round except for the last one where they only wagered one. If they and I figured they were going to wager big, but they only wagered one,
yeah.
And they ended up pulling out with 53 points.
Okay. Well, the Krusty Krew, Quiz in My Face, please come out to our events and try again. If you would like to come out and see No Nonsense Trivia Live, we will be at Three Pepper Burrito Company on January 28th.
Come and battle us.
Battle the Wet Boys.
Please.
Three Pepper. That's January 28th at 7:30 p.m.
Fly here.
Downtown Fort Myers, Florida. Then we'll be at Bury Me Brewing Company on January 30th. That's a Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Afterwards, we'll swing over to Nice Guys Pizza, see Mark doing his trivia starting at 9 p.m. Downtown Cape Coral, Nice Guys Pizza. And then on Thursday, we'll be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar, as usual, on Thursday, January 31st. Which is kind of like some... I don't know. I feel like it should be another New Year's Eve, but like the end of the first month, you know, it should be special in some like January 31st. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's good the feeling.
Someone I saw today described, somebody today described in a meme, January is a month full of Mondays. January is just kind of like the first month where it's like everything you're just trying to get going.
Yep. Get your shit together. Here comes the year.
And it's great because I guess it's more like a Sunday maybe because December is totally a Saturday. I don't work an office job, but I know like everybody that does gets fucking like half of the month off because of Christmas and New Year's and et cetera.
Yeah, just take the whole month off.
Yeah, who gives a shit? Get the fuck out of here.
Down.
Go home.
Everything's shutting down. All right. Well, let's take a little break and then how about some trivia?
Sounds good to me.
All right. We'll see you soon. See you soon. I don't know why I said that. Like, it's not a visual medium that we're doing here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see you through your little camera and your laptop when you're listening. because I work for the FBI. I'm Whoa. FBI guy.
Well, now we're busted.
No, I'm the buster.
Oh, you're the buster. I'm sorry.
Before we get started with trivia, we of course have to say big thank you to our Patreon supporters, the Rumble Snailskins, the Mikes, our proverbial lightkeeper crew, Moist Max, Moist Lucas, Sean, Sherry, and the noob, Gil. And of course, our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher. Thanks for supporting the No-No, guys.
We appreciate you all.
Yep. And if you would like to support the No-No and get access to some bonus episodes, check out our Patreon. Just go to thenono.com. That's thekenow.com. And click the support link at the top. It'll take you to our Patreon page. You can give us a small monthly fee. I don't know. Maybe we should call it a fee. The podcast is free, ladies and gentlemen. You can subscribe, listen to your heart's content.
Yes.
But if you got a little extra scratch and you want some bonus time with your favorite quiz masters.
If you want to help support us.
Bring it to please. Our Patreon.
Tell somebody that you know has a lot of money. Say, we know some people that need money. If they like trivia, then great. And then have them just give us money.
Yep.
And then we can do this forever.
And what do we do with that money? We keep it. We keep it all.
We buy breakfast.
No, we buy breakfast. We also invest it into our website. I don't know if you've seen our YouTube channel lately, but that's gotten a production overhaul. There's now, instead of just our cartoon faces, we've got full bodies on our YouTube channel. Yeah. Animated.
The art that you've done has been fantastic.
Thanks. Yeah. It's great. Check it out. Check out our YouTube channel. And yeah, why don't we get into some trivia here?
Sounds good to me. Okay. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
Do you have a preference?
Nope.
Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay. This, I know we got some listeners who are Disney fans. Mm. And we also have some science-minded listeners as well. This combines Disney World and astronomy. Those are the two categories here.
Two things I'm terrible at.
I think if you take some time, you might get it.
Pluto.
Oh, I mean, that's get related. Yeah. Yeah, I know. See, you're in the mindset now.
I'm trying. Okay. I'm trying to get Here's myself in that place.
Here's the question, though, before you give me the answer.
Okay.
I'll give you the question. At Walt Disney World, Main Street is based on 1910 America, while Tomorrowland was designed to represent 1986. Both were chosen because they coincide with what astronomical event? The years are 1910 and 1986, Main Street America, and Tomorrowland. Those years in particular were chosen because they coincide with what astronomical event?
I feel so dumb. I'm inclined, just because I'm thinking of astrological events. Astronomical events. And large spaces.
We're not talking about Mercury being in I guess that is an astronomical event, though. It's both. Mercury being in retrograde is astronomical and astrological.
It is.
But this is purely astronomical.
I'm going to say, I know that it's something that only happens every once in a while. I'm going to say Halley's Comet.
That's right, Mark. Okay. Halley's Comet. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I didn't know they had gone that deep into it.
Right? That's, dude, Disney is a rabbit hole. I mean, honestly, like...
You're now a passport holder.
I know. I'm getting sucked in. I used to make artwork that was like, fuck you, Disney, you're the man.
and now I'm getting older. I'm
like, you know what? I like those orange cream swirls that they sell over.
Can't wait to go to the Food and Wine Festival. Can't wait for Dapper Day.
There's just a huge crossover, I think, between Floridians, trivia players, and Disney. Everybody knows a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of cool.
I think it is too. It definitely says something, you know, like whenever you put on Spotify radio for a certain band and it starts playing other bands and you're like, this band doesn't seem like it should go with that other band, but it does apparently. Other people are listening to the same shit as me. Mm-hmm. Like I'll put on They Might Be Giants radio and Cake will come on and it'll be like, I don't really get it, but I get it. Like I don't. The two bands are really something to me, but they don't sound at all alike.
That's the relationship between Disney and trivia.
Well, just like, you know, like for some reason, people that like Disney like trivia, like the two don't really have a lot to do with each other.
I think what it is everything in Disney has its place or its story or its relationship to something else.
That's true.
And so just with any other fandom, you know, you have like Star Trek fans, Star Wars fans, Marvel fans now.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got their, they know all the little details. They know that, you know, Chewbacca's race of the Wookiee, which is spelled with two E's and not one, pride themselves on their like wood carving abilities.
Oh,
and
boy.
They have no, what did I read the other day? Someone they have no name for down. Artist.
Okay.
Or, but they have like 50 words for woodkeeper or craftsman or something like that. Huh. So it's like there's a little detail that only fans of that are going to know. But this one, I think you sussed it out. You sussed it out.
I did. I sussed away. All right. Here's your first question. Okay. In which mountain range is Camp David located? In which mountain range is Camp David located?
Camp David. Which mountain range? Well, every time I've been flubbed by a mountain range, the answer has been Sierra Nevada. Not just because you asked the same question twice. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Not
this
the beer.
Is not that.
So, I'm inclined to do that, but I don't think it's near the Sierra Nevada mountains. But maybe it is. I don't know where. I thought Camp David. Let's see here. Camp David could be in Texas. I feel like I remember George W. Bush when I was in high school going to Camp David a lot, but he was from Texas. So maybe that's why he was always in Texas, not because Camp David is there. Is it in like near Maryland, near DC, Appalachian Mountains? I feel like it's close by. I'm going to go with the Appalachian Mountains.
You are correct.
It was not in Texas.
Nope.
Is it in Maryland? Camp David?
What? I don't know, to be honest with you. All I know is that they're in the Appalachian.
We'll have to miscorrection that. Here's your second question. This is an anatomy question for you. Meaning little brain in Latin.
Little brain.
What part of the brain has been long viewed as the part that handles motor function, but has recently been discovered to play important roles in the domain of memory, language, and emotions? So for most of science, this part of the brain, it's like it just handles, you know, your
fuck!
your motor movement. And recently they're like, oh shit, when we do our emotions, this part of the brain actually lights up too.
When we study language,
this part of the brain lights up too.
You got me on this track of thinking the Latin shit. And then you drop the other thing on me because I know like this part of the, I know the name of this fucking part of the brain and I can't. If you would have just said, what's the name of the part of the brain?
Just pretend I didn't say the rest.
Yeah, but it's in me now. Little brain. I feel like I should focus more on trying to like get that going. Bellum, cerebellum.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job. You sussed.
I sussed.
Yeah. I guess that other part confused you. I shouldn't have read that. Last part.
No. It was the first part because I was like, oh, shit. Like, I don't know. I'm like, how do I say small Latin? How do I say? I remember like one of the first episodes, I kind of like really went in depth about what I was thinking as you were reading a question. And it was probably way too much. But like, I kind of had one of those where I was like, how do you say little? How do you say brain? What's Latin? You know, am I thinking of like the wrong language? Blah, 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 blah. Then you started reading the other stuff. I was like, oh, I probably know just this. I probably just know what part of the brain is blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And as to where the little brain thing is probably helpful, it kind of like was a road bump in my brain for whatever reason. But okay. All right. Sorry about that. By the way, Camp David is in Maryland.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Right on.
And now, knowing is half the battle. Here's your second question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
What continents are entirely located in the southern hemisphere?
Antarctica. Australia.
He takes a breath.
And I don't know if South America is. I'm gonna say South America is as well, because it's the Southern Hemisphere.
That's incorrect.
Yeah. All right.
Just Antarctica and Australia.
Okay. All right. I had an intuition.
the air was thick.
I had an intuition that, yeah, I shouldn't have went with it.
It's okay.
When you said we had a lot of people say that. You were like, that was your way of letting me know, like... Hold on.
You could tell last night that a lot of people had written Antarctica, Australia, and then nothing.
Or that's South where America. The discussion occurred.
Yep.
But that's where the deep discussion.
Like, someone says South America, yeah. And then someone went, whoa, wait.
Yep.
It's probably connected too much to North America. There's probably a little bit, you know, and that fight went on.
I love that question. I love that question that reason. And because it's tempting. You know, when an answer tempts you, and it also has an unlimited number on it, too. So I love it because, yeah, it introduces that element amongst the team. All right. Yes. I have a movies question for you for number three. Ooh. The Pleasure Garden.
Oh.
The Pleasure Garden.
Yeah, buddy.
Do you know this?
No.
This movie?
But I like that name.
It's the first film by which director released in 1927?
No idea.
I'll tell you a little about it.
Okay.
It's a feature-length silent film, and it's a bit of a thriller. It follows the lives of two chorus girls at the Pleasure Garden Theater in London and involves crime, romance, jealousy, and paranoia. I feel like there's some hints there.
Yeah, I feel like there is, too. I'm going to go ahead and guess. See, man. Time. Alfred Hitchcock was pretty old when he started doing all that Alfred Hitchcock Presents stuff. So maybe 1920 something. Oh, silent. I'm going to say Alfred Hitchcock.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
That's absolutely right. Yep.
Holy shit. He was doing silent movies, huh?
Yep. His first movie, The Pleasure Garden. According to critic Dave Kerr, the Pleasure Garden's opening scene is a clip reel of Hitchcock motifs to come. The first shot captures chorus girls descending a spiral staircase, vertigo. Uh-huh. A man uses opera glasses to better appreciate a blonde chorus dancer, rear window. And the same blonde who at first appears unobtainable later emerges as a down-to-earth and approachable individual, which has some relationship to the movie Family Plot by Hitchcock. So, good job.
Thank you.
Good job sussing that.
Got a lot of sussing going on.
If I didn't read you those hints, what were you thinking at first? Maybe...
Oh, I had no idea. I mean, yeah. I think that you saying paranoia definitely kind of sparked a little something. Yeah. I mean, I think that helped a bit, for sure.
Okay. All right.
Here's your last question.
Yeah.
30 years ago, Ted Bundy was executed by electric chair. In what state, after confessing to the murders of 30 young women?
Ted Bundy.
1989.
Yeah, yeah. And this was after his confession?
Yes. Hmm. He didn't get electrocuted before.
Before he confessed?
This is it. All right,
No, I did it. No. Yeah. No, well, he didn't confess after the... Yeah. No. I know he attended Florida State University.
Did he?
Local lore, yeah.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Local to Tallahassee, of course, not to Fort Myers where we are.
Exactly.
I lived in Tallahassee for a while. Though.
You did?
So that's where I picked
beautiful
up that.
City.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Always offended when it gets mentioned on shows. It's always shit talk. Tallahassee, like on Lost, like they said, nothing but strip clubs and waffle houses.
Fuck them.
I don't even,
the fuck is wrong with that?
I don't think whoever wrote that line has ever been to Tallahassee.
Well, I don't think anyway. What the fuck is wrong with waffle houses and strip clubs?
Right? Endorsed. No nonsense endorsed.
Seriously. Like, there's nothing wrong with strip clubs, and there's nothing wrong with fucking waffle houses.
It's the perception of the character. It was Locke's asshole dad. Well, anyway,
fuck
anyway,
Locke.
Anyway.
Fuck his dad.
I'm going with Florida because I don't know where else he went.
You're correct.
All right.
Florida's correct.
Woo, my little bit of Tallahassee knowledge did me well.
Yeah, that FSU thing really helped, yeah.
I could have gone to Gainesville, never learned that fact.
Could have been a fucking gator.
Not knowing shit.
Right. That's it for the first round, huh?
That is it.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take a break. We're going to come back with a miscorrection
Yep.
from yours truly, and then a second round of trivia. time to pick up with a little bit of I was going to say rate my question, but it's not that.
No, we're doing that later.
Yeah.
Now it's time for a miscorrection.
Miscorrection.
Let's break that down a little bit. I started with the ba-ba, and you started with the da-da, and then we flipped.
Then we flipped, because we heard each other's, and we were like, and well, I got to do what they're doing.
Yep. And you went to be me. We need to pan that again.
It's going to be hard to
do. This is what we need to do. All right, Mark, are you ready for your moment of humility?
I am. So I fucked up. So Joey, a longtime listener and fantastic human being in general, was actually on her way to Antarctica.
Previously mentioned last round.
And
that's in the Southern Hemisphere, in case you didn't know.
Entirely. And happened to mention she is from Alaska, actually. And I had mentioned previously on the podcast that there was a earthquake that occurred on November 30th of 2018.
I remember this question.
And where did it occur? And you answered Alaska. And I said, no, I said it was Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting at work the other day and she sends me a text message that says a 7 magnitude earthquake in Oregon last year, question mark. And with an emoji that only could be described as angry and
red faced and brows furrowed.
It was a brow furrow, no red face.
Oh, okay.
But it seemed
the brows were furrowed.
It seemed angry.
Yeah.
And her sister and her brother-in-law live in Oregon and she's from Alaska. Mm-hmm. So she knows the Pacific Northwest and that area way better than I ever would. So it was a question I think I had just gotten on a website that said Oregon and I just like went with it without checking it because who gets that wrong? You know what I mean? I was a little too trusting.
Yeah.
And I looked it up and sure as shit, I was very, very wrong. The answer was Alaska. And for what it's worth, Lee, you correctly answered Alaska when I asked it here. Mm-hmm. And I said you were wrong and I apologize.
Thanks, Mark. That's very humble of you to do that.
Absolutely.
And it really makes this whole podcast more fun. I think I'm going to keep doing it.
Good. Thank you. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's no, I remember now that you mention it, like, and Joey's brow furrowed emoji, it does sound a little questionable that there was a huge earthquake in Oregon that I just totally didn't remember. But you were telling me I was wrong and I was like, no, nope, must be wrong. Must be wrong. Maybe I need to stick up for myself a little bit more often or something.
Well, you know, again, I think it's one of those things where it just seems so, you know, how would you miss that?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess when everybody has that much faith in each other, eventually it ends up. Yeah.
Fake news.
Exactly. Fake news.
Oh, Mark was the victim of fake news. It can happen to anyone.
It can.
Yep. All right. If you'd like to write in with your own missed correction, you can email us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Thanks for the miscorrection, Joey.
All right, let's go ahead and get started with the second round of trivia, and here's your first question. What was the code name given to a program of experiments on human subjects that were designed and undertaken by the CIA, including sensory deprivation, hypnosis, LSD experiments, and more, beginning in the 1950s? He wanted to put the phone down. He's got the phone down. Oh, goddamn. You want me to give you that one more time?
No. The code name for it was the CIA secret program.
Mm-hmm. Starting in the 1950s.
Sleep deprivation.
LSD.
Right.
That was the big thing that I remember hearing.
Mm-hmm. And it was a code name.
Yes.
Well, I know stand-up comedian Dennis Leary invented LSD. No, it's Timothy Leary. I mean, yeah. That's what I mean. Not stand-up comedian Dennis Leary.
Correct.
That's a hilarious alternate universe, though.
I don't know that Timothy Leary founded LSD.
Didn't he invent it in his bathtub or something like that?
I don't think so. I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't think so, though. I think he was just kind of like the pioneer of.
Mm.
I'll look at it while you suss out your answer.
Yep. So I don't think they would call it the Leary experiment or anything if it was a code name. I feel like this is, you're going to say it and I'm going to know it. But I'm really disappointed in myself because this is like the kind of stuff that I'm interested in, like in my free time looking at on YouTube, conspiracy theories and the sort. But I don't know this one.
I'll tell you, no one got this right, which shocked me. I thought it was a very, very well-known thing. And when I gave the answer, I felt like
a lot
of people... Is it
like Codename Blank? Is that how the format is?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I've always heard it just said as blank, but it might be like Codename...
LSD, sleep deprivation. What were some of the other qualities? I'm actually going to my dark place now.
Okay, let me
enough fucking around.
By the way, LSD was first made by Albert Hofmann in 1938 for lysergic acid.
All right. Hofmann is what you said.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sensory deprivation, hypnosis, LSD experiments, and more.
I don't know. I can't.
It may be harder than I thought. It was one of those things that I just knew I had heard about when I was younger. I think that a lot of people started referencing it when with 9/11 and all that conspiracy theory stuff, because a lot of people were like, they would never do terrible things to people. And they were like, there's stuff like this that's been going on forever. Mm. It's MK Ultra.
That's right. I did know that.
MK Ultra.
It was just
it's one of those things. Yeah. It, like when people were talking about the kid that went in and shot up the screening of Batman, the first screening of Batman, and people were saying, "Oh, he was such a normal kid," and blah 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 blah. And they were saying that it seemed like an MK Ultra esque, like he was just fed a bunch of drugs and they were trying to like control him, basically. Mm-hmm. And people were likening it to
MK Ultra.
I don't know.
He didn't have an insanity defense.
Didn't he just get killed?
I don't.
Or did he? No, he was white. He got saved, I'm sure.
Or he might have killed himself in prison. I don't know. I can't remember. Was James? His name's James. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways,
I wouldn't want him to be known through this anyway.
I should have went down that path, but like MK Ultra clearly has an acronym. MK, Mortal Kombat. I don't know.
You know, it's funny.
Prism or something like that? But I couldn't settle on anything. But okay. MK Ultra, interesting.
Project MK Ultra is how it was known, not Codename MK Ultra. Project MK Ultra.
That's going to be a fun YouTube rabbit hole to balance out my Disney trivia. Here's a literature question for you.
All right.
Shout out to the mics. Always want some literature questions. Maybe they're sick of them now, though. They haven't written in a while. They're like, we get it. You know, we get it. We like books. Move on. I got one for you, though, Mark, here.
Okay.
The Tower of the Elephant, The Phoenix on the Sword, Red Nails, and Rogues in the House are all stories involving what character created by Robert E. Howard in 1932?
Oh, I have no clue. Tower of the Elephant.
The Phoenix on the Sword.
The Phoenix on the Sword.
Red Nails.
Red Nails.
Rogues in the House, just like Corey in the
Rogues
House.
Rogues in the House.
It's Rogues in the House.
Who's in the house?
Rogues.
Rogues in the House. Whose house? Rogues' house. Featuring what character?
Yeah, created by Robert E. Howard in 1932. Whose house? Rogues' house. That's good.
I have like
the
no
Run
clue.
DMC reference.
Yeah, there you go. I'm just gonna guess. Somebody, a character. Character that features most bunch of books.
Bunch of goddamn books.
Bunch of fucking people reading. I'm gonna say Rogues in the House. Bilbo Baggins. I have no idea.
No, Bilbo Baggins is a character created by...
oh, shit. I didn't even think of the creation.
Tolkien.
It doesn't matter. I wouldn't know.
The character created by Robert E. Howard in 1932 is Conan the Barbarian.
Oh.
Or Conan the Sumerian.
Okay.
Samaria being where he's from.
Indeed. Okay, yeah, I would never have gotten that ever.
They're
in my
great,
life.
Actually. I mean, if you're looking for some quality old school fantasy, they hold up. They're compelling... They're better, I would say, better to read than watching the Schwarzenegger movies.
Huh.
Really. But yeah, check them out.
All right, here is your next question. Mm-hmm. After her death, Pope John Paul II recognized Mother Teresa and renamed her Blessed Teresa of where? After her death, Pope John Paul II recognized Mother Teresa, renamed her Blessed Teresa of Weir and is where she spent most of her life.
Where did Mother Teresa spend most of her life? I want to say it's somewhere in South Asia, like India or maybe Pakistan. I'm feeling compelled, just based on her age, I'm feeling compelled to answer India.
I want you to be a little, I'm gonna give you kind of a hint that you need to be a little more specific.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Is it a city? It's, or is it a country? Can you tell me that? Or
it's a city.
Oh, okay. Indian city. I'm gonna just blank on this now.
Thanks for letting me fuck something else up.
Teresa, mother of I don't even know if this is a city or a country. What I'm thinking.
I have a feeling I know what you're going to guess.
What do you think I'm going to guess?
Bangladesh?
Yes.
Well, that's so weird.
Yes, that is weird.
Because it's wrong.
What the fuck?
But I knew that you were going to guess that. I don't know why.
Because I said it. I don't know if it's a city or a country.
Yeah.
It's a country, isn't it?
I don't know. No, I think it's a city.
Sri Lanka? That's a country.
That's a country.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I'm Bangladesh terrible. Is a country.
I'm terrible.
Jeez whiz.
Yep.
That's awful. The correct answer is Calcutta.
Calcutta, mother of Calcutta? Or yes. Saint of Calcutta?
Mother of Calcutta.
Very nice. Good for her.
She worked with AIDS patients and HIV patients back in the 80s when, you know, the president of the United States couldn't even be bothered to worry about people with HIV and AIDS. She worked in leper colonies.
AIDS? I saved people when I was a lifeguard. Why do I need to care about AIDS? I was the aid. I aided them.
Let me be.
The Make late Ronald Reagan.
That'll help.
That's my, yeah, I don't know. Well, Ronald Reagan with slight dementia.
Whatever you say, Ronald Reagan, you're just going to say, well?
Well.
That's it. That's your Ronald Reagan.
Well, impression. I have a second question for you, Mark. Well, it's about hip-hop.
Okay.
Which rappers, that was terrible, the way that impression ended. Which rapper's dad is Hodari Sababu? Hodari Sababu is this rapper's dad. He hosts Compton Hoodlife tours.
What a weird question.
Which rapper's dad is Hodari Sababu, who hosts Compton Hoodlife tours? For just $75 a ticket, you can take a tour that includes a drive-through funeral home where gangsters could bid a speedy salutes to avoid ambushes, and also take a stop at Tam's Burgers, which is a favorite of Grammy winner Kendrick Lamar. Also, Death Row Records co-founder Suge Knight just killed a guy there. Is now facing murder charges. Tam's Burgers. You could go to these places on the Compton Hoodlife Tours, which is hosted by what rapper's dad?
Compton. Well, I know it's not no East Coast person.
They would never make it.
So that takes out half of the game. There goes Wu-Tang. There goes Notorious B.I.G. There goes Naughty by Nature. Sababu. I'm inclined to say, I think I'm going to go with Tupac. I remember seeing the Tupac movie, and I know that his dad was, I think his dad was in the Black Panther movement. Makes me think that maybe it's him, and he like either had that name or took that name on. I'm going to say Tupac Shakur.
It's not Tupac. Can I give you another small hint?
Sure.
Maybe you know this little factoid. Before starting the Compton Hoodlife tours, this man opened up an all-male strip club dance review with his wife and had this rapper dance at the club before they became a rapper. A fact really? Revealed in a Pitchfork interview where he was promoting this Compton Hood Tour thing he had going. It's like, oh, yeah, we used to have a club, and he would dance.
That does not help at all, but that's amazing.
Shots were taken at him for this by another rapper. Maybe if I give you that rapper, it'll help. That rapper
Is it Dr. Dre?
No, the rapper that was taking shots at him was 50 Cent.
Okay. So 50 Cent had beef with someone because they were a dancer.
Well, not because, but that was the shot they took.
Oh.
Over some other shit.
It doesn't help me. I know 50 Cent had beef with fucking everybody.
This was a popular beef between them. Yeah. As far as hip-hop heads are concerned.
I don't know.
The answer is The Game.
The Game.
Yep. Did you ever see the Nardwuar Kendrick Lamar interview? If you're not familiar, you know Nardwuar, right?
Yeah.
The human serviette.
Yeah.
Napkin. He has an interview with Kendrick Lamar, and he actually reveals in the interview, Kendrick didn't know that The Game's dad had these Hood Life tours. So that was just funny because he had an ad for it. He was like, here's the tour. That's The Game's dad right there. And amazing. The Game was in the room. So they called him over and stuff. And then Pitchfork went out to talk to this guy and, you know, see what the tours were all about and give him a little tour, a little video tour. Then during the tour, he's like, oh, yeah, we used to have a club and The Game would dance.
And that's amazing.
I guess somebody took a picture of The Game wearing a G-string in the club.
Oh, my God.
And 50 Cent got a hold of it. So that was the shot that was taken. So,
oh, my God.
If you're at all interested in hip-hop beef or hip-hop history, look this up. Watch. I will post a link to the Pitchfork interview so you can see.
Also, if you have not seen the Soulja Boy interview on The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Drake!
Yep.
Oh, my God. I was crying laughing about that the other day when I heard it.
It was good.
It's amazing.
Let's post a link to that, too. We'll
yeah, put them both absolutely.
Up. Yep. Slightly related.
The man anyway. Who tried to hide his kid from the world but couldn't hide the world from his kid. Drake? Oh, my Christ. Amazing. All right, let's get as far away from hip-hop as we can with this bullshit question. The Better Life, Away from the Sun, and 17 Days are studio albums by what mainstream rock band? Shit, I don't want to ask this question.
Is
this the second question or third?
This is your, you asked the first one, so I've asked two. So this would be the third.
Okay, fuck that question.
Is it No Doubt?
No.
Oh, okay, who is it?
It's Three Doors Down. I'm sorry.
Why'd you bring them up?
I know. Well, it's funny because I asked that last night and everybody was like, why would you bring it up if you hate him? And I was like, so I know who should never come to trivia again.
I would never ask that question.
So ballsy.
Shame on you.
I know. All right, here's a question for you. And this question was actually helpfully submitted by Joey.
Okay.
What $570 million cruise ship was wrecked in 2012 off of the coast of Italy, resulting in 32 fatalities, and whose captain was found guilty of manslaughter, abandoning ship, and causing a maritime accident? I want the name of the cruise liner.
Wow. You know, on my last drive back from Tallahassee, I think I listened to a podcast episode that was an interview with a survivor of this accident.
Really?
And it was about like their intuition, like everybody was running in one direction. And it was like a couple of ladies that were there on vacation after like school, you know, they graduated and they were like, we're going to take a cruise. And this happened, and they were like, they were describing this moment where everybody was running in one direction, and they were like, we both know we have to run the opposite if we want to survive, you know?
Yeah.
And they ended up like running upwards, basically. But there was a lifeboat up there, and they were able to like get away safely, though they were like really close to where it was.
I don't know if there's video footage, but when I was looking at like news articles of it or whatever, and there's like a picture of it. And it's so fucking surreal.
Yeah.
It's just this boat fucking...
Huge. Cruise liners are huge.
They're gigantic. Yeah. $570 million gone.
Mm-hmm.
Gone. Just in the water.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, you were there. I asked a question about what Discovery Robert Ballard was best known for.
Yep.
At my Monday night, and that is the Titanic Discovery.
Yep.
So we both had some nautical questions this week.
Yeah.
Also, interestingly about that, I don't know if you know this, I didn't mention it trivia, but that was actually funded by the Navy.
Really?
Yes. So they said, if you go over there and find these two wrecked ships that we have and tell us how the nuclear reactors inside are doing, you can use whatever leftover money you have to find your Titanic. And that's how it was funded.
Holy shit.
Yep. This particular question about this cruise liner that wrecked in 2012, I don't remember the name of it. I'll go with the Challenger for irony purposes.
The correct answer is the Costa Concordia. Made huge news. I did not know it. She, you know, I just asked, do you have a question that you want me to throw on there? Mm-hmm. The thing that she wanted me to mention here that I'm going to mention real quick for all of our boat lovers, which are her and Tim, is that they used to get the boat out, to get it right, to get it right side up. They also did the same thing with the USS Oklahoma after the attack on Pearl Harbor, is a kind of salvaging called parbuckling, where they basically...
Is that what Garfield's dad or owner does?
It's funny that you mention that, because I actually have a Garfield question that I asked last night, and I totally thought about the same thing. I was like, parbuckle and arbuckle, how amazing.
Yeah.
And I wonder if maybe I didn't come up with the Garfield question because of hearing parbuckle.
Ooh.
And it was like a psycho, like a mental thing, you know?
Ooh, yeah. You don't have free will.
Exactly, yeah. But basically what they do is they, like, it seems like they just dig posts in the ground and wrap, I don't know, chains or whatever, and just pull, and the leverage will flip the boat upright.
Whoa.
It's insane.
Wow.
Yeah. I kind of want to see if I can find a, I don't know if you can see that, but that's a little thing on how they would do it with like a cask. It's a little example they give. Maybe we can throw that up somewhere.
Yeah, we can put it on our show notes.
But yeah, yeah. Very, very.
Parbuckling is the process.
Yeah. Very, very interesting.
Cool. Good question, Joey. All right. Here is your third question. Believed to have originated among butchers and greengrocers in Victorian England, Yob, Yenip, and Dratsab are examples of coded language that was used by the market sellers to have private conversations about their clients in front of their faces. What is this language called? Yob, Yenip, and Dratsab are examples of it.
Can you spell them? Y-O-B?
Yob, Yenip, Y-E, N-N-E-P, Dratsab, D-R-A-T-S-A-B. What is the name of this coded language used by market sellers in Victorian England?
Boy, penny, and bastard. It's all backwards.
You're onto something.
Well, I know that, but mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck it's called. I mean, it's kind of like...
What would you write down? It's very perceptive of you. You're on the right track. What's it called?
I mean, what would you write down? I guess I'd write down the word backwards.
Oh, that's very clever. It's not that, though.
No.
Simply, it is called backslang. Backslang.
Okay.
Yeah. Each word is coded by writing it backwards, and the words are spoken in the proper order as well. So you have to reverse each word. It's not like you would say a whole sentence backwards.
Right.
You would go word by word. And trying to make a sensible pronunciation about it. So they would write the words down, and then reverse it, and then try to write a pronounceable version of it. And that would become the coded word. Certain sounds like TH didn't actually get reversed, and extra vowels were inserted as necessary to make it fit. But I thought I would give you some extra words. Maybe you'd like, pick these specially out for you, Mark, actually.
Okay.
So I thought you would like dratsab, bastard. A kerp is a prick.
Okay.
Right? A teenuck. Teenuck, that means big vagina. Teenuck. Say it backwards yep. now. Gib T-serbs, big breasts. Laro, oral sex. And of course, we have finally.
This now might the be, world knows everything about me.
This might be your favorite, though. K-Rop Poches, pork chops.
Oh, do love a good pork chop.
K-Rop Poches.
I can't believe you didn't do chicken wings.
Well, that wasn't on the list that I saw.
Oh, okay.
Those, okay. These were on a list of like verified words from actually Florida State University. I found like a somebody had researched this language game, coded language backslang.
Let me give you this Garfield question as an extra.
Yeah.
What is the name of the self-described adorable cat that Garfield continuously threatens to mail to Abu Dhabi?
That would be Nermal.
Only one team got that.
They didn't. Some of y'all never watched animated Garfield, and it shows.
We're a living meme, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh man, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it was good. All right,
maybe I'll ask that tonight. Nermal.
Yeah,
I like
it's
that
a
question.
Good one.
I'm gonna steal that one.
He's adorable.
Okay, that's 3-3.
Right? Sounds good. So we'll be back with a rate my question.
Rate my question.
Starring Ray Romano and our last question. See you then.
Right, we're back. Before we get to a rate my question, though, it's time for a best worst answer segment.
Best worst answer.
All right.
Ugh, so hard to do. So we had a couple different ones for my trivia. I actually was, you know, mindful enough to remember to keep my answers. The first question last night I had was, singer Robin Fenty is better known by what name? Do you know that?
Fenty Wap.
The correct answer is Rihanna.
Oh, okay. And Fenty is her makeup brand, right?
Yeah, and she has like a clothing brand, Savage Fenty.
Okay.
I had a couple of people write Robin Thicke, even though his father's name...
That's a blurred line right there.
Hello. No, you didn't. I also had Barry Allen was the alter ego of which comic book superhero. I had someone write down Spider-Man, which seemed a little...
Maybe they were thinking Uncle Barry Allen.
Maybe.
Uncle Barry. Sounds like a cereal.
We had the question of in what mountain range was Camp David. Someone wrote the Himalayan mountains, which is very, very far away.
That would
away.
Be pronounced Camp David.
And who is the current prime minister of Italy? Which is another question I didn't ask you.
Mm. Is it Marcellino?
Well, so a lot of people were going along the same lines as you. The correct answer is Giuseppe Conte, but a couple of people wrote Luigi or Mario and Luigi.
Ah, we've talked about that. Mario and Luigi Mario.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Very, very entertaining. All right. I had a couple myself. As you know, on Monday, I asked, according to 80s and 90s rock band REM, what does the end of the world start with? The answer you knew.
An earthquake, birds and snakes, and aeroplanes.
Mm-hmm. You know more. Even you could the whole lineage of the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have memorized.
Lenny Bruce is not afraid.
90s music, kind of your main thing, right?
I mean,
I think that would be your strongest trivia.
Category. I'm pretty all right at it.
Drew over at Three Pepper wrote, "Pooping back and forth forever." That's what the end of the world starts with.
You and
sounds
me and
like
everyone
it.
We know.
Not in the song, but maybe in reality, I might be inclined to admit.
Indeed.
Agree. I also had a question on the sci-fi show Buffy the Vampire Slayer and its spin-off Angel. What actress played the character Faith?
George Michael.
Do you remember? I know somebody.
Eliza Dushku.
Yep. Yeah. Did you know that without your team's help?
I did. Yeah. Fletcher knew it really, really quick. I remember her from Wrong Turn.
Right.
In 2003 movie Wrong Turn. That's where I remember first seeing her. But I had seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer before that and forgot that she was in there initially.
Right. Some teams, like Team Moist, Moisty's Choice, they thought it was Allison Hannigan. You remember
ooh,
her?
Ooh, yeah, Willow.
A lot of teams wrote that down. But there were other teams, like Lily Lou's Last Weeks, who couldn't remember Allison Hannigan's name, so they simply wrote down Flute Pussy Lady. Which is an American Pie reference. Yeah,
absolutely.
I love that.
Flute Pussy Lady.
And her,
that's amazing.
Her and Jason Biggs get together in that movie, right? Isn't that kind of
how
that ends
up? It's been a long fucking time.
Because he's the pie fucker.
He does fuck a pie.
So you have pie fucker and Flute Pussy Lady. It's a romance for the ages.
How beautiful.
Yeah.
Then, well, maybe while the two of them are getting together, they can just stick a flute in a pie.
Yeah, and then go do whatever together.
The world,
you know,
is
hold
the
hands.
Perfect place.
Absolutely. They can hold hands after that. Okay.
Good stuff.
That's our best worst answers for the week. Now it's time we have to prep our voices for our next segment, Rate My Question.
I can't remember how the theme goes.
It goes this a little something much. Like this. My boy Gregory's and Matthew. My boys.
Both of my twins.
Rate My Question.
Ray My Question.
People that are listening to this for the first time are like, what does Ray Romano have to do with, why are they singing in this weird thing?
This is why I always listen to podcasts from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because the relationship between the host or hosts and the listeners grows and becomes a thing. That's why, as much as I'd love to just jump in the middle, I can't do it. So when there are podcasts that have so many episodes, it's hard. I mean, like, I remember hearing something with Hainong Man, and I was like, what the fuck is Hainong Man from Comedy Bang Bang? Mm-hmm. I had to hunt down the episode where they first got Hainong Man from.
Right.
Because I have to know.
Joke.
Yeah.
It's an in-joke. Every podcast has an in-joke.
I just have to know the lineage. So.
Yep.
So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
It's all right. Our Rate My Question comes from Quizmaster Dallas.
We got to have him on at some point.
Yeah. He hosts trivia at 10:25 in Cape Coral on Tuesday nights.
Indeed.
You can play his trivia. His question for us brings up a couple of movies that we've talked
about.
Can
I just say, yeah, big of you to shout out his trivia when it goes toe-to-toe with one of your trivias?
He's on Tuesdays, so...
Oh, I thought you were on Tuesdays, too. I'm sorry.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
No, I'll take the credit,
but
though.
I think you would have. I think you would have anyway,
yeah,
because you're a good guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we love Dallas. We'll have him on soon.
Absolutely.
We just need to coordinate. I just saw him a couple weeks ago, and the first thing I said to him, we need to have you on the podcast ASAP.
Absolutely.
But I think we're going to have one or two other people in front.
We've got a queue.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But Dallas asks a question about some movies that we've brought up on the podcast before, errantly and errorously.
Okay.
Both of those things. We were wrong about them. And we brought them up offhand. And he wants to tell us a little bit more about him.
Okay.
And I accidentally read the answer, so you're going to have to go at this one alone.
All right.
Here's the question. Dallas writes, who directed Waiting to Exhale, Hope Floats, and was an executive producer of Fruitvale Station, but is more known for his acting roles and has appeared in the movies Platoon, Good Morning Vietnam, Taken 3, and Arrival?
Oh, geez. Holy shit.
Do you want a hint?
Yeah.
The hint is that he suffers from ptosis.
Thanks. Look,
that's Dallas's hint. That's not my hint.
Ptosis?
Yep.
The fuck is ptosis?
You're going to find
out. That's its own question in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. It's a hint that just begs more questions.
Waiting to Exhale.
Hope Floats.
I don't even know what Hope Floats is.
Hope Floats
I know that name.
I believe it's a movie about a girl who gives birth in a Walmart. Right?
Oh,
you remember that movie?
I remember that story. Mm-hmm. I remember about hearing about a woman who was like living in Walmart at night and would like sleep in the tents, in like the tent section, and would eat food or whatever. And then it came out that she was staying there at night, and instead of like getting busted for eating food and et cetera, et cetera.
This is not that movie. This is not Hope Floats. I just looked up a synopsis. That's
that
like Home Fries or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I think Drew Barrymore's in that movie or something. Hope Floats stars Sandra Bullock, who's humiliated on live television by her best friend, Connie, who's been sleeping with Birdie's husband, Bill. Who directed this?
Well, that's a good question.
That suffers from ptosis.
Ptosis.
That's with a P in the front, by
Taken
the way.
Taken 3?
Taken 3. Did you know they made a Taken 3?
No. I didn't know they made a Taken 2. Waiting to Exhale. Was Waiting to Exhale a predominantly African-American movie?
Yes.
I'm going to say... he acted in what movies?
Platoon, Good Morning Vietnam, Taken 3, and Arrival.
Who in the fuck was in Platoon? Who the fuck was in Platoon?
Charlie Sheen.
It's not him.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't give you too many hints there.
Just
start reading.
Who is it that I want to say, but I know is going to end up being wrong? Who's the guy that's in... can I ask you a question completely independent of this and get a name from you?
I guess.
I mean, is that wrong? Because I know... I'm just getting the name of the person I know. Who's the name of the black actor that Tobias keeps going to in Arrested Development?
Oh,
The fact that you don't know his name tells me that I'm wrong, but
no,
whatever.
No. It's but it's
I'm gonna guess him anyway.
The guy from Rocky. Isn't
it? What the fuck is his name? Is Lando? He in Rocky?
Lando Calrissian?
No. Not Lando.
It's not Keith David.
I don't even know who that is.
You'd know his voice if you heard Keith David's voice. It's been in everything. Keith
who
David
the
was
fuck
in They
was,
Live.
Who in the fuck was Lando now?
The Colt 45 guy.
No, I know, but what's his real name?
Donald
it's Billy
Glover.
D. Williams. Okay, so we got that.
Yeah.
But the guy who... Oh,
let's get back to this question.
All right, the guy that played, you know, baby, you got a stew going.
Right.
That guy.
Not him.
But I can't think of his name. That's my guess.
By the way, if I can just overload you a little bit more, Whitney Houston and Angela Bassett... We're in Waiting to Exhale.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the guy's name, but that was my guess.
All right. It's he suffers from ptosis.
Yeah.
He's also in the movies. He was just in Rogue One, Star Wars Rogue One. He was in Predators, which was the third Predator movie.
Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers, thank you. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's driving me fucking crazy. Yeah, okay. Yeah, seriously. That is one of the best, after like post-masturbation.
Oh, I got him confused with Billy D. Williams. That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Okay.
Yeah. This director / actor was also most notably probably in Last King of Scotland.
Oh!
Or Ghost Dog Way of the Samurai.
I don't know what that is. I'm going to have a mint.
You still don't know it? Did you just eat that wrapper and all?
No.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding me? I'm not
The noise
insane.
In my headphones was so loud.
My
Anyways, you don't know this
dry.
Actor?
It's the guy with the eye.
Yeah, that's the ptosis.
Oh, that's what ptosis is.
Yeah.
His name is...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. This is the quintessential screaming at your fucking radio episode.
Mm-hmm.
This segment right here.
Yeah, everybody
is
knows.
People just yelling Carl Weathers, mm-hmm. yelling Billy D. Williams, and they're all black people, and we sound like such shitheads for not knowing their fucking names, and I feel like a shithead.
This one you should.
I know.
More relevant than the first two.
It's right on the
currently.
Tip of my fucking tongue. His name is... He was in Last King of Scotland. He played fucking Idi Amin.
Mm-hmm.
Don't.
I wish
don't
I could
you
give
dare.
You points for this
don't
extra
you,
information.
Don't you dare.
I couldn't tell you who he played in The Last King of Scotland, so you get points for that.
You, Thank you.
Didn't you ask me about that movie? On
Probably.
This? Like, what dictator did he play?
I might have.
You did. I'm almost certain
And
of it.
His name is?
Mm-hmm.
Forrest Whitaker.
Yes, okay. It is Forrest Whitaker. Oh, man. This is like the trivia
he
version of edging what
to
we're
exhale?
Doing right now. Yeah. And Hope Floats.
Did he use...
And he was in Taken 3.
That's so bizarre how far he's fallen.
He was also in Rogue One.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was the bad guy.
I would love to see him in more prominent roles in mainstream movies.
Me too. I love him to death.
Yeah. I feel like kind of not
his
utilized
very well.
His
eye typecasts him.
Yeah. But he wasn't utilized very well in Rogue One. You're going to get Forrest Whitaker in... Give the man like a main role, not some side role.
I don't know. It wasn't a prominent role, but it was a big role. There was
like
a lot
bitch.
Of buildup.
He went out like a bitch.
So did
saying.
Snoke.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Anyways, I mean, talking about buildup. Yeah, this is for our nerd podcast.
Yeah.
We should move on.
Mark and Lee's Nerd Box.
All right, last question.
Yeah, let's get
you
into our
first.
Final questions here. You want me to go first?
Or wait a minute. No, I go first, huh?
You go first.
Let me go first. Baby, you got... That's what I search for to find Carl Weathers. Baby, you got a stew going.
And I would love up. To see your Google search history.
Oh, you know
Can
you
I?
Wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
I'll show you after this. Here we go.
Yeah.
April, May, and June. are the nieces of what cartoon character?
April, May, and June.
Mm-hmm.
Are the nieces of what cartoon character?
Mm-hmm.
April, May.
Try not to be too loud with this mint.
Yeah.
Don't want to upset everybody at home. Rubbing the eyes.
Yeah, I'm going to my dark place. I've got a first answer that came right away, but I don't know if it's right, so I'm trying to push that to the side right now. But I'm trying to remember, there's Huey, Louie, and Dewey are Scrooge McDuck's nephews. His nieces maybe are April, May, and June. You said cartoon character?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this isn't like comic strips. Exclusively, they had a cartoon. April, May, and June. Three girls. April, May, and June. Nieces. Meaning it's an uncle or an aunt. You didn't specify, right?
I did not.
Uncle... They would call him uncle. They would say, uncle. Uncle. Wait a second. Scrooge McDuck, isn't that Donald's uncle? So they would be his... Are they Donald's kids? Are Huey, Louie, and Dewey Donald's kids? Do you know that? Unrelated to this question? What's the relationship there? It's never specified.
It probably is, but I don't know.
I'm going to go with Scrooge McDuck.
The correct answer is Daisy Duck.
Oh, okay.
Daisy Duck.
But we don't know. Daisy is Donald's wife, right?
Or girlfriend.
Partner.
Partner, basically. Life partner.
Cool. Lots of Disney on this one. Not planned.
Not planned. So interestingly, that was the last question of Jamie's that they only wagered 1 point.
Oh, really?
And they put Donald Duck. I had a lot of people put Donald Duck. I had a lot of people put, I had one person put Scrooge McDuck.
So are they like Daisy's sister's kids or something? Or
I don't know.
There
I don't
can't
know
be any like direct parenting in the Disney universe.
Yeah, what a weird thing to
Everything's
think of,
just like a niece and a nephew. You know, right. There's no firm relationships. Cousins.
Yeah,
they're just a gang. Of ducks.
I'd be very curious to know like the sexual history of all these characters and how they ended up having all these kids.
Sometimes they do go back in time, don't they? Isn't there like cartoons with like Donald's like ancestors that are cavemen and shit like that?
Probably.
And they'll like have like I swear I've seen like a family tree or something of like the ducks. It's got to be like, I'm going to look it up. If we find it, it'll be in the show notes.
When ducks give birth, do they give birth to multiple or do they just give birth to one?
Well, I believe they lay eggs, right?
Oh, boy.
They're not mammals.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't... I don't think ducks do... So, multiple eggs, probably, are laid?
Yeah, okay. Hatchlings.
Yeah. Okay, so according to a chart made by Carl Barks in the 1950s, it's just a pencil chart that this Disney employee made for his own personal reference. Let me see if I can expand this here. Let's see here. Daisy and Donald are brother and sister. Donald and Thelma Duck are the parents of Huey, Dewey, and Louie. April, May, and June, not in this chart at all.
Where's Daisy?
Daisy is apparently Donald's sister in this original chart. Donald's parents are Quackmore and Hortense.
Hortense.
And then Quackmore's father is Grandma Duck. I'm sorry, Grandma Duck. Mother.
Whoa.
And Grandma How Duck had Grandma Duck had Quackmore and Daphne Duck, who made Gladstone Gander, who's of the Goose family originally.
Of course.
So... Yeah, I don't know how, based on this cursory Google, I'm not exactly sure how April, May, and June fit in there, but that's not my problem. That's your question. So, yeah. Here's my question for you.
Okay.
Final question. We're going to go from Disney to disaster, nuclear disasters. In 1952...
Disastney.
The first... This question is disnasty.
All right.
In 1952, the first civilian nuclear accident occurred in which country? Just chewing that candy.
Is it loud?
Yeah, it's you're not supposed to chew it, man. You got to savor it.
I've savored it enough. Right. I have a whole. Let me
read it again, so we don't get that chew. In 1952, the first civilian nuclear accident occurred in which country?
This is your last question.
It's the final question.
Tough one.
Thank you.
Here's me thinking a bunch of shit that I don't know what the fuck I'm thinking about. It's got to be in my mind.
Classic Mark.
It's got to be United States or Russia is what my mind's telling me. There was Three Mile Island. I think that was the thing that happened here. And then there's, of course...
Do you remember what state that was in?
Pennsylvania.
That's right.
And then there's Chernobyl, which I can't remember when Chernobyl happened. I don't even know if I ever knew. I'm sure I did. Saw a really interesting Vice documentary about them going back to Chernobyl. Fucking weird. Back and forth. I mean, it could be another country, something like a progressive country, kind of like Japan or China, who's like always on the cutting edge of that kind of stuff. Though I can see... Japan being a little scared of nuclear stuff. What with Hiroshima and Nagasaki being like,
yeah, did they have the funding to create their own nuclear facility by 1952?
It's when Columbus sailed the ocean.
I think you could write Japan off on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to say the United States.
Okay. You're close, but you're wrong.
Canada.
It is Canada. That's right.
Wow.
The Chalk River Laboratories in Ontario, Canada. It was a collaboration between British and Canadian scientists. It was the first nuclear facility outside of the U.S. to see operations. So before Russia, in between the United States and Russia, Canada.
It's always the quiet ones.
Canada had one. And there was just like a rod, like the kill switch didn't engage and it caused a meltdown. Interestingly enough, though, future U.S. President Jimmy Carter was an engineer and lieutenant in the U.S. Navy at the time, and he was part of the cleanup crew.
Wow.
The Chalk River Laboratories nuclear disaster.
Very good last question. Very tough. Thank you. Very tough.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky. You kind of have to know a little bit about history to get that one. And I know it's not your strong suit, but I thought it was a little interesting. You might appreciate it.
As I always say, even if you don't win, you learn something. Yep. So now I know.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for this episode.
What a fantastic episode. It's good to be alone, just you and me, but I think we're going to have a guest in the next week or two.
And a guest.
Think about your day and night. So happy together.
That concludes this episode of the podcast. Yeah.
Okay.
My name is Quizmaster Lee. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Then again on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing, also in Fort Myers. That one's starting at 7. And each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That one's starting at 7:30. Mark, where can you be found on Wednesday evenings?
Catch him inside How Bow Da to what an approving nod.
Catch me inside.
How about that? Remember her?
Mm-hmm. What was her name? Baby?
I can't remember, but apparently now she's baby. Like a millionaire. Because you can apparently do whatever the fuck and be on the internet a lot, and then someone will sign you to do something.
Please support us on Patreon.
Exactly. Thank you. What a great segue. You can catch me Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock at Nice Guys Pints and Pies in historic downtown Cape Coral. Come for the food, stay for the trivia.
Stay later for some pinball.
Yeah, absolutely. There's pinball. There's delicious drinks. Whew, man, I was
over there.
Yeah, they are. They are, absolutely.
All right, thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you had fun. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support us on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. You can also write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, and please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Triv. Finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. 5 stars only, please. Till next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Keep an eye out for those Gib T-Serbs like Parbucklin' Arbuckle.